Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 938. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Oh, well, it's a usual Tuesday around these parts. Nothing too crazy cracking. And have not watched any type of NXT yet, but I have been forewarned about a number of segments from our good friend Jeremy Mays. So I look forward to that watching. But Chris, it is hard not to talk about the fact that, well, The Rock came back and mauled Cody.
No, it is pretty hard not to talk about that. Not, especially not,
you
not,
know.
Not a part. Not a, hard not to talk about that first. It was something unlike has been seen on WWE television in probably over a decade. I mean, we can really say that at this point. We've not. First, let's.
Yeah, because there's some stuff that there's one aspect of it where someone's like, oh, the Attitude Era is back. And I'm like, I think that's an oversimplification of what's happening here right now, sir.
Well, at least that's a better comparison of the situation than saying they're being like AEW, which I've seen. That's just stupid. You know, the world.
Oh, jeez.
There was a world before COVID lockdowns. but first, I think they absolutely kept The Rock being in Chicago completely quiet. No one had heard a peep about him being there. So when he showed up, it was a pretty big deal. And we are finally in a city where the people are going to react accordingly and boo The Rock as they're supposed to. One of the hardcore cities in the north. Yes,
they did cheer for him when the music hit and the lightning came down.
Oh well, yeah. Well, that was just pure shock. No, I mean, that was an incredible moment. And you know what?
Yeah,
using the smaller entrance setup that they did to fit more people in. Made that moment huge because my God, I wasn't even sure it was him at first. And that, you know, and the way the lightning hit and they had the lighting, it was almost like someone was doing a Rock costume, basically.
Like it's one of those, you're just so conditioned as a professional wrestling fan that anything can be a swerve that until you're like 100%, you're like, are they swerving us here? No, not swerving us. It was really The Rock.
It was really The Rock, and he then, to make the moment and to build what was going to happen later, he did none of the shtick. He said nothing into a microphone. They stared each other down. They stared each other down possibly too long because people started chanting for CM Punk. But they quickly got it back. And then, you know, Rock, you know, whispered something in Cody's ear that we were curious about all night. And then, but apparently it was some version of "Tonight I Will Make You Bleed." I think is now the best guess.
And then, okay.
After the end of the main event, now also another part of this. Did you catch it earlier in the show during the New Day DIY Miz and Truth backstage segment that in the background, Drew McIntyre and Paul Heyman were having a very intense conversation?
I did notice a conversation happening. I'm not sure that I realized it was Heyman and McIntyre.
So yes, yeah, so but. McIntyre, you know, okay, the main event was Jey Uso versus Shinsuke Nakamura. Not the biggest main event of all time or anything, but Jimmy and Solo were there. They attempted to get involved. Cody and Seth ran down. But Drew McIntyre was able to get one up on Seth Rollins. We'll talk about what happened earlier with them. Obviously, that will be our next topic of conversation.
Yeah.
But suffice to say, Cody was led to the back with no backup of his own, with Jimmy and Solo, and then eventually The Rock, who then beat the living hell out of Cody Rhodes, just brutally hitting with everything not nailed down, throwing him into everything. Essentially, but once they got outside in the rain, which, you know, added an incredible effect to this whole thing, using Cody's own bus as a weapon against Cody, repeatedly sliding him into that bus, and maybe
a little more ironic, the fact that he was throwing him into Pharaoh 9 times out of 10 when he did throw him into the bus.
Yeah, I didn't really catch that, but once again, but one of the times he threw him into the bus, Cody comes up bleeding. One of the first times, I know it's not completely the first time in over a decade or maybe 10, 15 years we've done blood on purpose in WWE.
Right.
I remember, I mean, they purposely did it at a house show at Madison Square Garden, so they didn't show it, you know, on TV in full color with Brock and Roman about 2 years ago.
Oh.
And then, of course, there's all the times they purposely got the hard way of, you know, you run yourself into the post at the right point. You know, Brock Lesnar was, you know, give him credit for this, the master of making himself bleed by just running himself headfirst into whatever.
That man has bled more than just about anyone in the WWE. Like, it's never a gusher. But he doesn't mind cracking himself open.
But this was definitely an old school blade job. And Cody got to pay homage to his father before him with his blonde hair just full of red. And then The Rock made good on his promise of taking his brand new weight belt, smearing it with Cody's blood. And I presume at WrestleMania, he will literally hand that over to Cody's mother.
I mean, that was some over-the-top villain stuff, you know what I mean?
It really was. I mean, Black Adam bombing is the best thing that ever happened to us this year.
Man, because, I guess it's finally to the point where I'm like, nah, you can't really cheer for this guy.
No, he has, for a few weeks now, for maybe a couple of weeks now, he's definitely been back. He is fully engaged in this whole thing. And when he's fully engaged, it's when it comes to promos, there may no be nobody better ever. So... yeah, no, I mean, there is a ton of heat going into WrestleMania. And yes, what we can talk about it, the heat is definitely on Cody and The Rock. And any thought that this is that Rock is any kind of a double agent is just has to be gone now. I mean, that's not how, and honestly, him having some change of heart in the next week and a half doesn't even make any sense either, really.
Well... I mean, you can still sell me on the double agent thing, just because I'm not sure how many times in wrestling I've gone, this is so stupid. Why would you do this level of violence to yourself just to pull a quickie on someone?
Right, yeah.
I agree with you that in general, I don't think, like, it does not seem like that's going to be a component of...
Yeah.
Definitely not night one.
No. Night one, they're going to be out for blood. And once again, this really... If anyone wasn't convinced about the tag match, they must be now. The only thing is, you probably... Maybe people wish it was Rock and Cody one-on-one. because that's where that is where the heat is, and we'll get into, Cody and Roman on SmackDown later as well, or maybe we can transition to that here soon. But it definitely feels like the heat's with The Rock, and it is amazing how much The Rock is overshadowing Roman. Now, granted, the moment, when that three count is registered, it'll be about Roman. It'll be about this 4-year reign coming to an end. I think some people are taking it a little too far, what they're saying about how much Rock's overshadowing Roman, and that Roman's just, turned into a sidekick. I think some of it's a little too much.
Oh, yeah. It just seems like the bigger thing. Like there, it's hard to, be next to a literal legend that has turned into the biggest movie star in the world. Like
he's always had that charisma, and again, it's been he's made his one-off appearances, throughout the last decade, but this is the most active he's been in WWE in 11 years. That's pretty crazy to think about.
I mean, he really has been gone for quite some time. Because what was it? Was really him and Cena his last kind of? And even then, it wasn't like he was on TV regularly.
I think
but that might be the last.
I think he was on TV pretty regularly. Going into the second match, because he still did the two matches with Punk. That was probably more involved run than the year earlier. Because he did the two additional matches.
Okay.
But it's been one offs ever since. And building to nothing. but now this. It was maybe one of the most awkward beginnings to anything ever. It was not the original plan, but the way that they've pivoted has been pure gold. And I don't know. Maybe they can keep Rock heel long enough to run Cody and him as a singles down the line. Maybe they should.
If he doesn't pop in quite as much, I can see them pushing this to SummerSlam at a minimum.
Yeah, no, but I think he's got like two movies coming up that might keep him out for the rest of the year. So we might not be until early next year. But I think there's still a way they can get to. Rock turning back face and him and Roman facing each other next year, which feels like was, part of this plan B we're in right now. But man, right. You're always reminded the man is a hell of a heel. And he's got real anger to tap into here. He's getting the release. Everything that's happened in the last year from Black Adam to Warner Brothers executives throwing him under the bus, from the accusations about regarding him and Oprah and Maui and all the things, and having to merge the XFL and into the USFL to create the UFL when the letter X has been even involved. So, but he's still got to kind of smile and act like he's still a happy co-owner. all these things that have happened over the last year, and he's at least, it's for him, it probably is a better cathartic release than just going through the motions of, the wank wank dream act, as Cody kind of called it, with Roman Reigns. And if, we still eventually get to him and Roman Reigns with a real storyline.
Yeah, it was so weird because they had... I guess that really got diffused very quickly, because there was some tension about the whole tribal chief thing. But Rock essentially was like, maybe he paused for a second. And he's like, "Yeah, you're my tribal chief." Like that kind of the underlying tension that they had built up over the last couple of years about the tribal chiefness and how it relates to the Rock, they kind of pushed it away. And it's hard to, like, you almost need to retell that story in a lot of ways. Like, I know that, like you pointed out, like, it was just kind of a real start and stop thing, but every time Rock popped in, it always seemed like there was some type of hint of him and Roman not necessarily seeing eye to eye. Even if they're, they never had any direct, I don't think, contact. But you kind of left feeling that way. So yeah, you need to kind of retell that story in a lot of ways. And I guess it's maybe, well, not maybe. I think it is easy to tell if you go with the downfall of the bloodline.
It absolutely, the way this is all going, and it feels like it's going to go, is exactly the right way to do this. And before we move on, I think we can, before we move on, did you notice what was in the background the entire time of of Rock beating down Cody, kind of like on the other side of the water?
I did not notice it, but I believe I saw it on Twitter earlier today or on the X, where it was John Cena and Steve Austin. It looked like they were on like a bus
Yeah,
or
no,
like a trailer.
I'm one of the on the truck with the wrap of the truck. Yeah,
Yeah.
I say there's a very good chance that's how
I
they're running every if Rock and Roman went on Saturday, which I think they will, so I think it makes the more
it
everyone in
makes
the
a more
world's running in
compelling
that.
story.
You could definitely say everyone in the world's running it on the match the night after. So yes, that's so yes. So yeah, so yeah, so, so some big fun ahead. What a lot of people didn't think was fun, though, was the Roman Reigns Cody Rhodes single face-to-face on SmackDown. Felt like they were going through the motions some, but you know what? I kind of felt it last year as well. While the match was great, they don't match up well on promos for some in angles for some reason. There's just does not there's like a disconnect with Cody and Roman that there's they don't really have a great reason to hate each other.
Yeah, of all the people that got screwed by Roman Reigns, 'cause what? He just got the spike, right? I don't feel like the bloodline has fucked with Cody as much as they have other people.
Yeah, that's true. And
You know?
it felt like Cody was being kind of Cody is both should be the next guy, and he's never really felt like he until the stuff with The Rock, like he belonged in the Bloodline storyline. Like he was being kind of shoehorned in last year when the heat was on the Bloodline and Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens,
Oh,
but it didn't
yeah.
feel like he had the real he had the heat with the Bloodline. He just wanted the title.
Yep, he won
This
the
year,
Rumble, so he gets to go after the title. Yep.
right, and then him and Roman, it kind of came back down to that again. It's just like these two don't really have that emotional feud to, to it. The emotional feud is with Cody and The Rock. So, I mean, Rock coming back was definitely the best thing that could have happened. It really is. And there was a way to do it that would kept Rock face, making him the referee or what have you.
Oh,
But then
right.
that one wouldn't have had a wouldn't have had a major main event, and we wouldn't have gotten this, Hollywood Rock Redux run and Rock and Cody playing off of each other.
I'm already thinking of one match that you could have run as the end of night one if you wanted to. I'm thinking you could have gone with Rhea and Becky and a night
I mean,
run.
you would have had to in the world where Punk's still hurt and Brock's still persona non grata. Yes, that is the match you would have run. Yes, that's what you would have put on last. Sorry, Bayley Vance.
Oh, yeah, I mean, hey, I super want to see Bayley take the dub in this one. But yeah, I mean, Becky and Rhea is bigger than Io and Bayley.
Yeah, yes, that is true. But yeah, no, I mean, but the way everything has worked out has been great. It's just added a different layer of anticipation to WrestleMania. And so I'm definitely looking forward to all that.
Yeah, I mean, there is a lot going on. Like that, it is kind of weird with Roman and Cody, where the story hasn't changed much. I think that's the other thing that's the thing that's hurting them right now. Like, there's been development around them, but like Roman. Did he really blame Cody for turning Jay on them? Or even getting him away from the bloodline itself? Like, I don't even
They
feel like that
didn't.
part's been brought up at all.
No, and it felt like that was going to be a big part of the story, and it really hasn't. That part of
Yes.
Cody getting involved in their family business. Yeah, no,
Yeah,
it,
like
it's.
oh yeah, it's been weird. There's all this development around them, Cody and Roman, but it doesn't really connect them together. It's so strange, even though it should.
That is all part of it. It just does not feel like they just don't. When they're facing the ring with just each other, they just don't have the, they just don't have the same chemistry they have with other people. It's very strange to me. But I do feel it. I do feel it. They're even going into last year's match. As much as I wanted Cody to win, the heat on the match itself wasn't to the level of, I believe these two hate each other and want to destroy each other. It was just a match that both of them wanted to win for the title. Which is fine, but obviously the stuff with The Rock has elevated it to a whole new level.
100%. Okay, so yeah, that was the one last point that I wanted to make on that before we get on out of that particular topic. But we did just mention the ladies. What did you think about the Becky and Rhea segment here on Raw?
I liked how it ended. This is another one where on the microphone, it seems less than it could be. And there's reasons for that. I have brought it up since the day of the press event in Vegas. Rhea using that line about Rhea being the bottom so far in advance, before the Elimination Chamber had even happened, was a mistake. And I stand by that because
No.
Rhea didn't, because Becky just doesn't have that. It hasn't had that line since, and it's going with the tired trope of you barely defend your title, working man's title, all that horse crap. It's not good.
Yeah, it is not that personal of a feud in a
No, I
lot
mean
of
the truth
ways.
is, Rhea has destroyed everyone. And Becky, you're the only one left.
Yeah, and we had to give you a bunch of wins to make it look like you have a chance against Rhea.
Yeah. But so yeah, the weakness of Becky's material is a problem. The other big problem is Rhea's turning face, and at this point, even having Dom with her isn't kicking that isn't keeping that door back shut isn't shutting that door anymore.
No. That door opened up, what, at latest the Royal Rumble?
The build up
At.
to Elimination Chamber, yes.
And yeah, definitely the build up to Elimination Chamber. And yeah, there's no way to stop it. Because, I mean, they've even tried to put her back in the Judgment Day segments and not slowing anything down.
No,
Like,
it's
they kept her
not.
away from them for like a month plus. And they're like, oh, hey, let's reinsert them into this and maybe she'll get booed. And it's just like, no, it doesn't work that way, guys.
No,
You look.
it's not going to work. No, and it's again, Becky just doesn't have a lot of material. How I think over emotional she got about Rhea's line about her daughter. Something just kind of felt off about it. But from the moment Becky punched Dominic in the face and he sold it beautifully, and they replayed that all night long, and then to the
Oof.
brawl itself.
Yeah.
That the physicality was great. The physicality is what this thing needed.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, it almost feels like, dare I say it, an AEW match where the story, like, I'm not concerned about this. I'm not concerned about the wrestling part of this story. Like, I think they're gonna have an awesome match. But the story itself, I don't really care for.
Yeah, no. And I don't either. Once again, because I said Becky just doesn't have the material.
It's so weird that they held this off for this long, and I think it worked against them to hold it off this long.
I think so too. And I said it around, probably last summer before SummerSlam. They've got a very small window to do this before Rhea's fully a face. Because you could feel it 9 months ago that
No.
Rhea was going to be a huge face at some point, and the only thing keeping her heel was Dom Dom.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you have someone pretty much have dominant wins all the time, they end up turning babyface because everyone's like, oh, this person's kicking ass all the time. Like, we need to start rooting for them. They back up what they're talking about. It's just. Yeah, as simple as that. And that's what they've done for Rhea. I mean, she's had dominant wins. Like, Bianca and the still rehabbing Charlotte are probably the only people on my list of like viable options to beat Rhea at this point.
Yeah. I mean,
You
depending on
know?
how long the reign goes, you could throw in Jade Cargill. You might even be able to throw in Tiffany Stratton. I don't know. I don't know how
Oh.
long this is planning on going. But I don't feel like time to change the titles now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we can officially save that for a preview, but I do not. I really am seeing Becky Lynch taking the L on this one.
Yeah.
So, which is, yeah, fine and warranted. Like you said, that's the only feather that Rhea does not have in her cap at this point.
Right.
So, yeah, put it in there. And I'm trying to think, because I have the SmackDown results up. What else happened on Raw, I guess, bef oh, well. I guess it's always easy to transition from Becky to Seth Rollins, right? You know, we got the built-in segue there. But I mean, it did help that Seth was involved with both CM Punk and Drew McIntyre, and man, I really feel like. I mean, it's still out there that Drew isn't signed, right?
As far as we know, he has not signed. But I have to believe he's staying. They don't do this. I mean, I guess they did it like 3 years ago with Brian. and and you kept him around, even though he was, they knew he was going to leave within a couple of months. But he did still take a several few months several months off after that, so he didn't supposed to come right off WWE TV. But but this push, I'm feeling like he's more likely to take the title than he is lose and leave. But him and Punk, I mean, it would be a travesty if we never get Drew McIntyre versus CM Punk at this point. Because the heat for that was off the charts. I mean, once again, again, Seth Rollins feeling like he's the least important part of his own storylines. This has happened twice now.
He's the secondary character.
He's a
And
secondary character in his own life.
his own life, in his marriage. This poor man has carved himself what I would imagine is going to be a WWE Hall of Fame career already at this point. But yeah, the man seems to play second fiddle. You can even go to the Roman Reigns stuff. He's the only guy to have beaten Roman Reigns during this stretch, but has never really been the guy to, like, they haven't really had him try to break the streak.
No, yeah, they really haven't. No, he got his own consolation prize.
Yeah. Like, it's so. Yeah. That man has just been second place everywhere. And good Lord. Yeah. The mic work between CM Punk and Drew McIntyre is just hilarious. Like, yeah, the barbs are flying. CM Punk, his reaction to Seth Rollins' music, I about fell out of my chair laughing so hard because he's just like, oh my God, now I've got to deal with this dipshit too. And it's just like, oh my God, this is just a thing of beauty here.
Really was. It was a great segment. And then, of course, you have the Chicago crowd not playing along with where they're actually headed, booing the commentary suggestion, and literally chanting referee. Like, no, that's not where this is going. Chicago's going to business for itself.
That's one of those. I feel like sometimes people try to be too hard, like they try too hard to be a part of the show. That was one of those more organic moments where it's just like, nah, we don't want to do the announcer thing. Like, we know that something weird's gonna happen if he becomes referee. And God bless that crowd for going
Oh yeah, that was
that
fantastic. Then Punk getting down and
route.
then counting the three with his good arm, and then Drew acting like he won a match. That was fantastic. But Punk BI commentary, adds a different wrinkle to it. Either he cost Drew McIntyre the match, or he accidentally cost Seth the match. I mean, I think that's your two choices.
Yeah, those seem like the high probability chances at this point. If there is a clean finish, I would be quite shocked by this occurrence.
Yeah, no.
So yeah, Punk at ringside. I mean, I think it helps everyone. Like, this feud almost needed something else in a lot of ways, just because
Yeah, it
they've
did.
run Seth and Drew a lot recently. I mean, they've had two different title matchups over the past year. I know that they really, it wasn't a consecutive storyline, but they were still kind of close together. So yeah, but yeah, that segment was just a bundle of fun there, and it does have to be said on the X. I guess I was glad that evidently is it Molly's Cupcakes in Chicago?
Mindy's Bakery.
Mindy's Bakery. That Drew McIntyre went there, like that man just is on such a fun troll level right now. And the fact that Mindy's Bakery is getting all of this press, I mean, she is the real winner out of Brawl Out.
Did you see the one where he was
Truly.
where he was working out in the gym and he said he needed to put on his workout music and it's Justin Timberlake's "Cry Me a River."
I did not. Jesus. That it just would seem cuckoo bananas to me if he's like, "Nah, I need to go somewhere else." Like, you have been given like the best character that you've ever been given. Like,
Ever, yeah. He's doing the best work of his career, absolutely.
how do you walk away from them? Like, "Nah, I need to go somewhere else." Like, that seems like an irrational choice at this point. Don't care about the Andrade match. I guess is there much? This is definitely a storyline that has been building here. Do you like the interplay this week between Chad Gable, Sami Zayn, and Gunther?
I can honestly say I absolutely hated how that played out. Not the stuff with Gable and Sami Zayn. That's good stuff. And they probably should have established Sami Zayn as a number one contender earlier. Because what you do with this is you have Chad Gable offer to train Sami Zayn along with the rest of Alpha Academy. You go to Philadelphia, you film a bunch of vignettes. You put the Rocky music to it. That's what you do here.
Even if you do that, even if you establish that a week or two previous to when they did, I think you could run that. And I mean, I like that stuff. I don't like
I'll tell you what I hated. Go ahead.
Zayn losing the match.
No, that was terrible. Like I fish. It's like at this point, just put it in a dead spot in night two and just have Gunther win. I mean, I don't care anymore. Oh, great. Now we're gonna pretend we're gonna push Bronson Reed for another 2 weeks until he loses another big match. Like, I'm. There's just everyone beats Bronson Reed. There's, yeah.
I thought this was the time to, if you wanted Sammy to be a credible threat, he's got to win this match.
Yeah, no,
Because
and they
Gun.
do things like this, but they did that like this before with the underdog. But it's stupid. It never works. You make him look weak. You make him look ineffective. It didn't work for me. They're gonna have to work really, really hard next week to get this back. And if they do another segment that makes Sami Zayn look like a loser, then he's a loser. And I'm just gonna be like. Once again, just throw this match out into a dead spot on night two and just have Gunther win and never talk about it again. Because I know this wasn't the original plan, and they went back. It seems like they went some back and forth on what exactly they were going to do with Gunther and the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania. But this isn't the way to go. You can't have someone going into a WrestleMania match with Gunther on a losing streak or. Feeling like he's a loser. I mean, they don't. We've done this with Sami Zayn. We had him going on a losing streak. He was getting wins. He was getting his confidence back. You can't. He can't. There's only one more episode of Raw left. There's no time to tell the story now. Like I said, Chad Gable taking him under his wing, training him, doing all the doing weeks and weeks worth of vignettes. There's no time for that now. And now he's lost to an underneath guy, who Gunther's already beat. Hell, Sammy's already beat him. So in that gauntlet. So we'll, yeah. What are we doing here? This was it, we're already at the point with Gunther where it's tough to put anybody against him and have people believe. And this is your WrestleMania match for him. It's just not the stuff they did last week with Gable and Sammy and Gunther laughing at Sammy's face is fine. It's Gunther, playing my head, get my games with Sammy, whatever. Sammy should not be losing matches to people that low on the card. With less than 2 weeks to go for WrestleMania, there's one episode of Raw left. They don't have time to rebuild him again.
That was not a preferred part of Raw.
That was really the only thing I didn't like. It honestly, it may have been the best episode of Raw in years. Otherwise.
But yeah, that was a little bit of stain on that show there. I watched SmackDown fairly early on in the process, from when I normally do, and honestly, not that I expected it high on the card, but I was pretty shocked that you have Rey Mysterio come back from injury. The man that injured him is on your roster. This is an undercard match on WrestleMania, right? That's been kind of stretched out over several months because of a legitimate injury.
Yeah, I imagine they'll do something with it. And now that Dominic's involved, they can get...
Yeah,
a tag match, an 8-man tag, but it's just the rest of the guys in the group aren't over. The groups aren't over. Garza and Humberto aren't over, and Lord knows the LWO tag team. Sorry, I never remember their names.
Joaquin Wild and Cruz del Toro.
That sounds right. There, yes.
Are there names? Yeah,
they're not over. Carlito's not over. Like, it's just it will be the definition of a filler match at WrestleMania to give Ray something to do.
Because I mean,
whatever they try to do with it,
I wouldn't completely argue if someone would tell me that Santos isn't over too.
Kind of, but not really either. It's not at the level of what they had last year with Ray and Dominic, and now they're trying to shoehorn Dominic into it. Maybe so he has something to do at WrestleMania because the rest of the Judgment Day doesn't really need him, and he doesn't have anything else. So yeah, it doesn't feel like. Once again, we're probably about we're at 10 matches right now. If they want each night to have 7, then. Then four more matches need to be made, and you can imagine that something with Cross and Lashley, with or without the rest of their factions, something with this SmackDown women's the women's tag titles with or a six woman tag or something. With the rest of Damage Control against Bianca, Naomi, and someone else, possibly Jade Cargill, or Bianca and Naomi challenging for the tag belts. You could go either way with that, or you could do a men's battle royal, the Andre battle royal. You could do a women's battle royal the other night. The things that you can do to just get more people on the card and fill out the rest of those lineup. But at this point, everything you got 10 matches. All mostly solidly built up and feel worthy of WrestleMania to some extent. The rest everything else they're gonna add is just gonna be filler.
Yeah, this is the last minute, like you said. We want to get these people on the card, so we'll throw them into something now. After having kind of big concentrated on matches. Because yeah, you did kind of bring it up. I don't feel like did they do a whole lot to move the Io Bailey matchup forward this week? It really was just more Naomi jumped Bailey in the
back. Well, no, Io jumped Bailey in the back before the match, which was weird because why would Io tire herself out before her match? Why wouldn't she just send the other ones
To
to
do
beat
the
up the
dirty
other?
work,
Yeah, it didn't make sense in that respect. And then, they had the match, and then, of course, Damage Control jumps in, Bianca jumps in, but it's still four against two, so they were overwhelmed. It was fine. It was paid by numbers type, build up stuff to whatever they're doing with the rest of the Damage Control crew and Bianca and Naomi.
Because that was another name that you mentioned. Do you think Jade Cargill does get herself on this WrestleMania card?
If
Because
they're
they
gonna,
did officially mention her as a SmackDown signee this week.
yes,
So,
she
I
is.
mean,
Yes,
worth.
she is, and she'll be in action next week. If Bianca and Naomi need a third for a six-woman tag that will include Dakota Kai, I think she'll get that spot. So you can have Bianca and her team before they ever split in feud, maybe.
Yep, have a mix-up between them, be the reason they lose, that kind of situation, if you want to go that route.
It could be, but I actually think that they probably end up winning because that seems like a kind of a super team type situation. I mean, there's just no one on the Damage Control side that matches either Bianca or Jade for power, and then you have both of them on the same team.
They are very muscular women.
Yes, indeed they are. They are, but yeah, it's so again. It's either a six-woman tag or Bianca and Naomi are going for the tag belts. Bianca also has her 3-0 streak at WrestleMania. It just seems like silly to take it from her as well.
Oh.
So I think she's. So I think Bianca's being put in a match. She's going to win.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, because it's not going to be a terribly important match one way or the other.
No,
Even
no,
if
no,
it's for
no.
the women's tag team championships, I'm sorry, ladies, not an important part of the WWE currently.
No. And something that could be borderline considered not important heading into WrestleMania because it's just a singles match with no titles at stake, but by God, they're doing everything they can is the situation with LA Knight and AJ Styles, a very fun home invasion segment.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting when the baby face in situation is the one doing the home invading.
But AJ's been running from him for the last month now, and keeps jumping him with chairs. So Elena did the only thing he could do is show up at the guy's house and beat him up on his front lawn. In the middle of Georgia, he's lucky one of AJ's neighbors didn't come out and shoot
they have definitely had some fun segments on WWE TV. And yeah, I mean that match has been pushed as much as just about anything else on,
Yes.
for a match that has no titles at stake, it has gotten a lot of airtime.
It has gotten a lot of airtime. They're doing everything they can do to make it not feel underwhelming, particularly for LA Knight, who is absolutely shocking. He's not at least walking out with a secondary championship from WrestleMania after all this time. I thought for sure, like 3 or 4 months ago, I thought for sure he was gonna be the one to beat Logan Paul for the US title. And he still might, but we're going to kick that can down the road, maybe all the way to SummerSlam.
Yeah, that is wild. That might come at SummerSlam. Hopefully, for LA Knight, it is not a Becky Lynch Rhea type situation where, when it does come, it does not turn out as well as everyone planned. But I think there's a little easier angle to go with there. I think you have a face heel alignment just to
Yes,
go
yes.
off of to,
I mean,
and I don't think that's
even in
going to change in
Cleveland,
the meantime.
yeah, even in Logan Paul's hometown, I don't think he's, I don't think he's that popular. So you're not gonna have to worry.
Yeah, Oh man. Was there anything else? Because I don't really see anything else on SmackDown here that that needs to be talked about.
No, not really.
I did you see some of the segments from this past weekend's house shows with involving Nia Jax, Rhea Ripley, and Shayna Baszler?
Oh, I was. What on earth are you talking about? Oh, no, of course I've seen it.
Yeah, I
Rhea knows what
mean,
she's doing. She knows how to rile up her fan base.
yeah, and I mean, that's one of those few times where I feel like I've heard the stories about how shows are fun. Like, I feel like I'd heard some Owen Hart stories where they were just doing dumb shit in the ring just to entertain themselves. And to make the job not as monotonous. I think between them and who was that? Was it Kairi Sane leading some type of like chase circle a couple
Yeah.
of weeks ago or something like that? I'm like, okay, maybe you're finally talking me into it. Like, I felt like I'd always heard those stories, but every time I've been
Yeah.
to a house
Oh, yeah.
show, it's like, well,
The
it's just a house show. Like, nothing fun like that happened.
Yeah, no, they have to bring that back, that feeling back. And the one where they were chasing each other around the ring is just hilarious because Becky's not that fast, so she's struggling to catch up. They got Bianca running around having to pretend like she could lap everyone three or four times.
Yes, yeah, we had to pretend that the track star who ran in track specifically could not catch up to these other people. Oh man. Yeah, that's pretty hilarious. But yeah, some of these house show shenanigans I think are worth a tip of the cap. Like, yeah, it's something that again, like, that is not something that I have ever been terribly interested in. Maybe it's because I went to some house shows in the 80s and they were just whatever. Yeah, thought that
Yeah,
was worth noting. It was a very
I
fun
mean,
part of
I think
wrestling this
the
week.
days of wacky house shows were kind of that late 90s, early 2000s period, really, and then they got away from it.